The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 257. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
If a tree falls, never mind.
Adam Vale.
Call of Duty. In the face, duck.
Mr. Brett Murdoch, in your face.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, man. What's going on, people? How you doing, man? Back on here on these Sundays. Tonight should be an interesting show because we didn't get a lot of questions. I noticed this. There's a pattern, and it's been going on because how long have we been doing this show? Like 5 years now? Every time there's a big game weekend, we don't get a lot of questions. We had Call of Duty dropping. We had fucking the Outer Worlds dropping. That's why nobody's asking us shit. So if you're in the chat.
Nobody wants to ask us shit about Outer Worlds?
Yeah, if you want to ask us about either of those games, please do. The hotline is open right now. But before we start, Brett wants to tell you guys about something very cool and that's related to Throwdown, to one of our alumni.
Yep. So some of you may or may not know my buddy Colby. He's a super great dude and an awesome dad. Long time ago when, his daughter was born, she was born with a congenital heart defect and, she had to have open heart surgery. We were all really terrified, but everything went well and she has grown into a strong, healthy young woman who has no lingering issues or anything like that. Lives a normal life and cool. She is one of the coolest kids I know. And because of this means a lot to Colby. So, he is going to be hosting a 24-hour gaming marathon, and he is going to give the proceeds of this marathon to the local Kansas City University Pediatrics Department for research and care of similar issues with other people. He wants to pay it along. So I wanted to give you guys the information, and I would recommend anybody who wants to pop in, check it out, watch him, throw some money towards a good cause. The website would be www.extra-life.org/participant/Colby. So, again, he's going to be doing this on, and I really should be more organized than this.
Yeah, don't worry about
November
it.
I'm going to give you another. Yeah, we'll be posting all the information.
I'm going to give you another chance to say it again in about an hour. And while I do that, I may actually throw a graphic on there or something just to.
Oh, perfect.
You know,
hey, man, throw me the graphics.
You know, so yeah, that's cool, man. And Colby, he's been on the show before. You know, we've done. He's been on Throwdown. I think he's done Otanime too. Like he's been around. He's a brother.
Game of Thrones.
You know, yeah, Game of Thrones for sure. You know, back in the day, so definitely help the guy out. And it's gaming related people, so. You know, help some people out, but we'll tell you about it again in an hour and then at the end of the show. Let people know, right, Brett?
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome, man. All right.
Hey, so, gaming for a good cause. You can't really beat that, man.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Plus those 24-hour streams, man, they get weird. They get weird.
Kobe's got his own
Kobe may take his shirt off, man.
Channel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we
let's do that now. As a matter of fact, Brett, do me a favor, text me the link and I'm gonna put it right here in the chat. I just realized I could do that.
Yeah, we'll put it in the chat, and then the other thing, we should host his channel on our channel.
Oh, we will definitely do that
on Twitch.
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna do that.
Yeah, we'll get the link to it. I'm not sure what I don't have his channel on there. Right. We'll get the link for it. We'll make sure to have it in the show notes for you guys. I'll get that right away.
Cool. And we're gonna link it in the but Manny, that's a great idea. Like when the thing is going, we'll host it here on Throwdown too. Get people over there.
You'll give it priority over the other ones that we're hosting on there, and just
have
them on there. We'll pop in and see what's
perfect.
Up.
Gaming for a cause, man. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. All right. So again, we didn't get a lot of questions this week. So if you guys are watching us live here on Twitch, feel free to ask us some gaming related questions, and we'll answer them live, like we always do.
Also, right. Before we start, I had a little bit of a crazy adventure.
Yeah, Miss, well, you know, since we got to fill up time, go ahead. What happened with you?
Just
man?
Talk about it. So essentially what happened before the show on Friday, I actually they were having a Death Stranding art contest, and I decided, hey, I'm working on something right now for Anime NYC, and let me just, you know, enter it into the contest and see what happens. So on Friday, I actually got a private message from PlayStation saying, hey, you're going to be part of the Death Stranding art show in New York City, and all you need to do is just send your high res artwork to this email and say I agreed to have my artwork part of this event. So I did that, and the email bounced back, and I kept doing it, and the email kept bouncing back. So what I did was I actually contacted Chris and another buddy of mine who work in tech, and I'm like, hey guys, what is this? What does this mean? Like, you know, it says that my email is not authorized, but apparently, from what Chris said, he thought it might be that it has like a whitelist sort of thing. So essentially it blocks every song. It's a email, a chain that once you email to it, it essentially goes out to a bunch of different parties. So what happens is that it has like a whitelist, and apparently
a distribution list.
Yes, exactly. So what happened is that we obviously anybody who's outside of that list can't email it. So what I did was I went through a whole rigmarole. First I contacted a PM Sony back and said, hey, PlayStation back, hey, yeah, this email doesn't seem to be working. I keep getting bounced back, and I already done it like five different ways. I've done it with the one way, one another way, and it all kept on bouncing back. Nobody answered there. So then what I did after that is I went to Ask PlayStation. Usually Ask PlayStation answers their texts. So I sent them the same information. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm part of this contest, and apparently this email doesn't work, and I keep getting bounced back. So then after that, I wrote a tweet, a vague tweet saying, like, it took me all my productivity went out the window because I've been spent 4 hours trying to send an email. So then I get contacted by a PM message from one of the from another person. It's like, hey, were you part of that contest, the Death Stranding contest? Because I'm having the same exact issue. So I'm like, oh, shit. All right. So there's another person that has it. So then I'm looking for places to try to be able to get people's attention. And I found the site of the event where they're, you know, where Sony's has the event, and they're going to be, you know, setting everything up. I sent an email to them with the same information. Then I obviously no answer there. I sent another email to the people that run the company that Sony is using to do this contest. And that came with an automated text. I also sent another email over to the inside of the rules and regulations of the contest. There's an email in there where you can email them to find out the full listing of all the artists that have been chosen to be inside of the contest. Sent one there. So I literally sent an email to all these different places, and nobody answered. So after all of this happened, then two or three other guys say, you know, PM me on Twitter saying, hey, we figured that you might be in the contest. Are you having an issue where you can't send an email to this email account? I'm like, yes, I'm having the same issue. So that's three other people. So then finally today, early today, I was around 12, earlier in the morning, around 8 o'clock in the morning, I decided, because I kind of know the one of the producers at Kojima Productions, like, you know, kind of play Twitter tag sometimes, you know, personal messages. Anyway, I said, hey, dude, I don't want to bug you with this sort of stuff. And I know you don't have control over this sort of stuff, like especially promotions in other countries. But this is what's happening. I sent them all the information, and he's like, well, you know, I'll see what I can do. He's like, though, I can't really promise anything because, you know, Sony's like a huge company. So if anything, try to see if you can find anybody else that you can try to get the information to so that we can, you know, get this thing, to, you know, solved. I'm like, all right. So that's when I made the decision. I'm like, all right. I didn't want to do this, but I literally went public with it and said, hey, listen, this is what's happening. Retweet it or whatever. And I put Sony and I put all the other guys in there just like, hey, just retweet this thing so that we can at least get somebody's attention so they can at least try to fix it. So that thing had been up since 4 p.m. And then finally, I had gone to the city for dinner, and I came back, and I decided to mail the other guys. I'm like, hey guys, have you guys tried doing this as of late? And then they're like, no, not yet. And one guy's like, yeah, I think I did it, and I didn't get a bounce back. So I'm like, oh shit, I think we fixed it, or they fixed it. So, yeah. But the big problem with all of this is the submission time frame is at 12 a.m. on the 28th, which is
tomorrow.
Is tomorrow, early in the morning. So literally, literally our show will run into that sort of time, into that time frame. Hmm. So that means that they only fixed this thing in 3 hours. So people have only 3 hours, the 3 hour time frame where they were supposed to have a whole weekend to be able to send their original, their final HD artwork in. So like right now I'm still checking my emails to see if I got a bounce back or anything. And so far it's been pretty good. And the other guys have confirmed it as well.
I'm surprised you didn't talk to Adam about this stuff. I mean, you know, emails and all that stuff. You know, Adam's all about the emails.
Always gets emails, man.
Well, the thing is, like, I sent you guys knew about it already too,
yeah,
because I was, you know, kind of posting it into our chat on the, you know, one of our message chat, so you kind of could see what was going on there. But I first I figured I'd ask Chris and
yeah, what do you think? I don't know about email. I got email.
Yeah, that's why.
Yo, Matt, email right now. Chris, I respect your I respect your email acumen, but nobody touches Adam when it comes to the emails, man.
Shit, I got a shitload of emails over the weekend.
Fucking
yeah, I mean, right now,
you got emails for all the
magic. Is your?
I'll just zoom in so that way you can see. Look at that, 18,000. It's ridiculous. Every publisher, every fucking person, everybody for some reason I'm on everyone's mailing list, and I get all kinds of shit.
Well, I mean, like, apparently on my email, I've run over the limit on Google.
There you go. Start deleting. Well, I have multiple. I have some in Outlook. I use Outlook. Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So finally, it seems to be handled. I tried to put another tweet on there that said update to everybody who saw it. So hopefully, you know, all those different places that I sent it, I told the other guys to send things to those things. Hopefully that got enough people's attention over there to kind of get their selves off their asses to go and get this thing fixed. The one problem the biggest issue with all of this is the fact that it was automated, right? So they sent this thing out and it obviously was automated. It said, hey, congratulations. And I told all the guys the exact time that that it was sent. And they all said, yeah, it was sent at 8 o'clock, blah, 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 at the same time every single day. So it was a big mass email, personal message that this thing did. And then they just said it and forget it.
Yeah. Well, what's stupid is when the email daemon, like the bot that sent you the email, mm-hmm. should have whitelisted you as soon as it sent the email. It should have whitelisted all of you. Mm-hmm. Everyone who was in the contest who got an email should have automatically been added to whitelist. Now, as he didn't do that,
but yeah, we didn't get any emails because, like, so yeah, it should have automatically did it and then just yeah, but whatever, they didn't leave the door open or whatever they didn't do, and they just left it like that. So like for 3 days it had been like that. So now everybody only has 3 hours to kind of get their stuff in. Crazy,
damn,
crazy. All right, man, let's get into it. Again, if you guys want to ask us some questions tonight, leave them now. Otherwise, we're going to be done in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
We only got four questions, bro.
Does that mean we should just talk slow?
Yeah, we should, yeah. just get really long-winded. Yeah, everybody's going to be like Brett tonight.
take out our pipes and be like, so when...
Yeah, right?
Do we have any Call of Duty questions?
I'm drinking tonight, so I may talk more than usual.
Oh, shit. You might. Well, you don't slur your words.
I don't slur. You know me, man. Only if I'm talking Spanish. I'm
going to slur my shit, you
know. Well, Tony.
What up?
You and I got to talk about Outer Worlds.
No,
I'm not calling him out.
Yeah.
Like, we need to talk about Outer Worlds because we've discussed up until now, like, Outer Worlds and Bethesda as a larger topic. Like, you and I got got a conversation to have. It'd be a good place to have it on here.
Yeah, you know what? Since we probably need to fill up time, we'll do that back in the show. Because I think it's a matter of what you're looking for in a Fallout game. I'm getting it. You may not. So I think that's where our differences stem from. But we'll save that for the end of the show. All right, so let's move on. First up, Mr. Matt Wheaton. We haven't heard from you in a while, brother.
Mr. Wheaton.
And both of his questions are Halloween related. By the way, people, Throwdown episode 258 is actually taking place on Halloween night. So that should be interesting.
This is Halloween.
Somebody might get murdered on air. We don't know, man.
Well, I do have a plethora of masks. So there might be Emilio Kratos that shows up or... Yes,
boy.
Boy. Well, all no, right, I don't have a beard for it, so it's going to be old school Kratos, you know, the real one.
The real old Kratos always had a beard. Shit. I mean, he had a goatee, you know, Yeah, that. All right, so he goes, stop if you've answered this one before, but what would be your favorite games to play during Halloween and Christmas seasons? Okay, so we got two holidays in this one, and no, okay. We have not been asked this question before, exactly. So what are your favorite games to play during Halloween and Christmas? Can we throw Thanksgiving in there too, just for the fuck of it?
Yeah,
the trifecta. Let's just say, what are your favorite games to play during the holidays?
Call of Duty. Call of Duty.
Not Gears.
It usually doesn't come out during all the holidays. It's Call of Duty every year, you know. And last year just fucking whack, and it really hurt. It really hurt the holidays.
Go ahead, Carlos. My bad. Go ahead.
Like, for me, it's just whatever is coming out during that time.
Yeah, there you go. That's my answer. That's my
answer. I don't really save anything for that time.
Well, I don't think it means that they're saving it. It's just things that usually are expected during that time. Like, I know a lot of people that are into sports, it's always FIFA and Madden. They can expect it. Yeah, pretty much know another version's coming, and that's what you're going to be playing during the holidays.
Well, this is like, what Halloween movies do you watch around Halloween?
Yeah,
didn't say anything spooky. Spooky.
You know, I haven't done that since the WPIX days. Remember Chris and the other New York guys? Like, that's when I used to watch Halloween movies back when WPIX was running them every mm-hmm. week, you know? But that's it. I don't really... Halloween
Channel
is just...
Channel 11?
Yeah, remember WPIX? They used to have like October, they would always show Halloween movies during October.
Yeah, they show horror movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Manny, you know that.
All of them used to do it.
But I don't, you know, Halloween, if you celebrate Halloween, that's cool. But for me, I'm like, I'm not a kid. So this is not really for me. You know what I'm saying?
You're a baby.
Yeah. But Halloween is cool, especially when the women start dressing up like sluts, you know, slutty versions of fucking characters, you know. I'm sexy Frankenstein's bride or whatever, you know. But I don't care. I don't care about Halloween. And I don't really like, I'm going to play a Christmas game now. Although I did play Christmas Nights back in the day.
Yes, you did.
So I guess that counts. You know,
of Nights.
Yeah. See, Barry knows about WPIX movies, man.
He knows. So for me, I've never specifically, when did Castlevania 2 come out, Adam?
Holy shit.
I'll look that up right now, man. We got Wikipedia these days, son.
When did that come? Because I remember we used to play that a lot.
Yeah.
Simon's Quest, right?
Simon's Quest.
1990, man.
No, not the year. Not the year, but the
Oh, 87, the my month. Bad.
No, not the year, but the month.
Check it out. It came out December 1st, 1988.
Oh, okay.
So it's more like a Christmas game.
It's more of a Christmas game. Oh, I know. All I remember is being scared out of my mind on that game. Especially when it was like, you know, the day is replaced by the cursed night. It's like, oh, shit, everything's getting hard now.
Drink the blood from the lamb.
Yeah, the friggin' the town gets all cursed. Like
all the people disappear.
All the people disappear, and the doors all close. You can't go into any of the houses.
I don't really go out of my way. I'm like, hey, it's a holiday.
I haven't gone down. Yeah, it's mostly been movies, in general, than more than actual games.
Yeah, I watch like Christmas movies and horror movies are how Chris and I watch horror movies, but with games, it's not like I'll pull out Resident Evil and install it. You know, it's like, oh, it's Halloween, I got to play something spooky. You know, it's just whatever, like Carlos said, whatever is out. Like if Battlefield was out now, I may play it. Mm-hmm. But, or Halo, right? During Christmas, I'd play that.
Halo Reach.
anybody else want to go? Brett, do you do any special holiday gaming stuff?
Nah, same with you guys. Whatever's out.
Yeah.
Holiday
you play the horror games?
I mean, that's the time when some of the prime games drop, so I'm usually playing those ones.
Yeah. All right.
It's scary.
Blay. All right, moving on here. Second question. I get related to the first one, kind of. What are your favorite survival horror games? Resident Evil, man. Resident Evil.
Oh, Resident Evil.
Yeah. I would.
And,
Until Dawn. I would put Until Dawn. I like that one. That was a really good one.
Is Dead Space a survival horror game?
Dead Space. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Dead Space is great.
Yeah. Alien Isolation, you know?
Yeah. I say the Silent Hills count.
There you go.
Eternal Darkness.
There you go. Man, what
yeah, that counts. Yeah.
Hey, Adam, remember The Suffering?
Oh, The Suffering.
Oh, I remember that.
That was a great one for Rig.
Yo, man, what about Friday the 13th, though?
Oh, no. Oh, wait, which one? Which one?
The NES one.
The NES
one. That shit scared me when I was a kid, man.
Parasite Eve?
That one was a pretty
kind. Parasite Eve. Was that a survival horror?
Yeah, it was.
Manhunt.
I always thought that one. Yeah.
Manhunt.
Whoa, guys. There's a difference between survival horror and just horror. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
well, Manhunt, you're trying to survive.
Yeah, that one kind of Parasite Eve. I always saw it as more of an RPG.
Parasite Eve is like a horror RPG.
Yeah, but it's not survival. You know, like I gotta see.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I guess that's true.
Well, unless you don't go in the Chrysler Building, because that's a fucking survival.
Oh.
You ever just, what was it, like the 100 floors of the Chrysler Building, and you get a prototype and you fight the what do they call that thing? The ultimate orphan or something like that?
Yeah, I watched you play it, Manny. That was crazy.
Fuck, we've known each other for a long goddamn time. That's PS2 time, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of Resident Evil, Dead Space, I don't really play a lot of survival horror games. You know what I'm saying? Although
I prefer Dark Souls is, because it's close, but it's different.
Yeah, it's a different type of survival horror, because the horror comes from like, oh my god, am I gonna die? Am I gonna have to reset and do all this shit over again? That's where the horror comes from, losing all your progress, you know?
Well, I mean,
those games scare me, man.
Sometimes the monsters are pretty fucking horrible.
Here's the thing, no monster in those games has ever scared me as much as like losing my progress. That's the shit that scares me the most, you know?
Where it matters. Yeah. Have they scared you less than like the Resident Evil bosses?
No, they scared me more because I'm like, yo, if I die in this boss, son, I have to do all this shit over again. So it's a different scary thing. Also, you know what I'm gonna throw in there, Brett? You're gonna laugh at me. Fallout 3 is a survival horror game because I don't know when that game's gonna crash on me and I'm gonna lose 5 hours of progress. That was scary. For the PS3, you know?
It scares you where it really matters.
That's a
gamer's soul.
Yeah, I go to a door. I'm like, oh, fuck. Is this going to crash on me when I've opened a door?
You know what used to do that to me? The thing on Xbox.
Oh, God.
That game used to crash all the time.
Did you not? Who was it? It was either you or Adam that didn't finish that game on purpose because
I didn't. My save got corrupt one time.
Yes.
Yo, hold up. I got to give Big Bad Silos a shout out. He just came up. He just came up with a new genre: survival romance.
Survival romance.
I don't know how that works. Like, if you don't get the girl, you get murdered. Like,
yeah. By the way, I got a dumb question.
Oh,
because you. Someone invoked Fallout, so I need to ask the question about Fallout 3. Is it? Can you consider it a survival game?
I wouldn't.
It has a lot of those aspects.
It has a survival mode.
It does have a survival mode, so that's true. Yeah.
The generic thing is to say it's just a Western RPG.
Yeah. Because it is a Western RPG, but there are certain, like, survival-y elements in there for sure, you know? Like, the encumbrance, the weapons degrading, you know? Yeah, so I could see that, but...
But survival horror, you know, it's a very classic type of game that pretty much makes it. The only relevant question here would be, is that its own genre, or has it evolved into something else? Like, if they keep making Resident Evil games like Resident Evil 2... Like I'm not sure we can define survival horror by Resident Evil 2 exclusively anymore. Otherwise, they're just not making they're not making survival horror games anymore.
I mean, they do that. I mean, Chris, what's the name of that game? fuck. Bethesda came out with them. They were, it was like Resident Evil 4. I'm forgetting blanking on the name.
Dishonored.
No, Chris.
They made two of them.
You didn't like they made two of them, Chris. You didn't like the first one.
Yeah.
Evil Within.
There you go. That's survival horror. I would consider it. So they still do make those games.
That was so sci-fi, though. That shit went off the rails. Shit,
I'm blanking on names. There was this one game that came out on PS4 near the launch where, like, you couldn't even fight back. You just had to hide in lockers and you were like...
Oh, Outlast 2. Yeah.
So, yeah, Brent, they still make survival horror games for sure, you know? What you would consider traditional survival horror. So, actually, some of these games... As a matter of fact, didn't they come out with Blair Witch Project? Like, a couple
months ago. End of August.
Yeah, that's survival horror, you know. What about Until Dawn? Is that survival horror too?
Yeah. Because the guys can die and you try to keep them alive.
There you go, Brett. Yeah. They still come up with those games.
Fair enough. Maybe I'm being blinded by
Man of Medan. That was another one.
By Kojima? What?
Yeah. Come on, you know Death Stranding. Like Death Stranding is essentially, in my opinion, evolution, or it's kind of where we're pushing survival horror games to be.
Really? Death Stranding doesn't have any hint of survival horror in it, though. That Silent Hills did, for sure. You know,
I kind of see it, though. Like, it's like, you know, you're roaming the terrains because you're trying to solve stuff that it's like kind of creepy in a way. And
is it creepy?
Well, I mean, from the trailers, I see it a little.
The funny thing about it is it's weird because it has spooky elements in it.
Spooky.
Maybe I'm missing something because I haven't seen anything scary about this game at all.
Oh yeah.
Other than the monsters that you can't see.
Yeah, but they're just monsters, you know? Like you just shoot them and you're good and you're down, you know?
Well,
you
that's literally everything in any horror game. You just described Resident Evil.
Yeah, but that's different. It's like it's saying like Godzilla's survival horror because has monsters in it, you know?
It's listed as horror.
Is it Death Stranding?
No,
turn Godzilla.
Godzilla's horror.
What?
So, it's a monster.
The first movie, maybe, but like Godzilla versus Mothra's a fucking horror.
They're
movie?
All considered horror. Yeah,
that's bus bullshit. That's stupid.
Yeah, it is. You find it in the horror section. There ain't a monster movie section, dude.
Exactly. Monsters are considered are considered scary, just like a werewolf and all that. That's
so you're
a
trying
monster.
To tell me Godzilla Returns. The fucking baby movie is a horror movie.
If people die because of other monsters,
nobody
then
dies, and it's just Godzilla taking care of his baby for the whole movie.
Or you could alternatively, you could stick that into the sci-fi section.
See, there you go. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
The first Godzilla movie, I could see that being horror.
Is actually a horror film. Yes.
Yeah, Godzilla versus Megalon. It's not a fucking horror movie, man.
It's a horrible
movie to fly around. Is that the one with Jet Jaguar and the
Come on, man. Or All Monsters by Zai, that's a horror movie? Come on, man.
That's a cartoon. That's what that
is. Thank you.
That one's a cartoon.
Exactly. By the way, I want to give a shout out to the chat. They're giving us some good ones. Fear. If Brian was here, he would
say that. Oh, Brian knows all about Fear. Yeah.
Fear, Fatal Frame. That's another one. GZDR, Clock Tower. GZDR, brother. Coming up with some good ones, man.
Tower. What about the Red Rose or whatever it's called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
The Rose or something like that it's called?
I get
that. Rule of Rose.
Yeah, I guess
Rule
Dino Crisis. Yeah, was Dino Crisis survival horror? I guess it was.
Yeah, because it was Resident Evil with dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Does Medieval count? I don't know if that does, because isn't that like a goofy game?
Yeah, the game is goofy as hell.
It's goofy. I don't count.
I want to know, did anybody in the chat play Resident Evil?
Brett said that again.
Because I have not... I want to know if anybody in the chat played Resident Evil in VR, and if so, what was it like? Because I have not met anybody who has the balls to do it.
Chris.
No, I played the game. Yeah. I didn't play in VR.
Oh, no, Brett, you got to change your question. Did anybody finish Resident Evil 7 in VR?
No, I haven't known anybody to start it.
Yeah, no, because I played it, like a demo of it. I'm not doing that again, man.
No.
Dude, I'm going to tell you a quick story, right? I played this game in VR. In front of PR, I'm screaming like a fucking girl.
VR in front of PR.
Yeah. Hey, that shit was scary, man. Dino Crisis 3 was awful. That's what Big Bad CeeLo says.
It was. I don't know what that game was.
Damn.
It wasn't even good.
Nah.
Hold on. Well, who said that? Isaac says, avoiding Death Stranding spoilers is survival horror. Yeah, be careful out there, people.
I mean, to be honest, Isaac, I have not seen anything. But then again, I'm not.
I've heard, no, Manny, I haven't seen any spoilers, but I've seen people getting pissed off that the game was spoiled for them.
Same here. I've seen
some, really. Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess I'm good. I've been good because apparently I haven't seen it. But then again, for me, I don't automatically read things. I mostly, when it comes to Twitter or anything else, if it's got a picture, then I'll look at it.
Yeah, like I've been told by friends that like I should put my account on lockdown until the game comes out because it's getting like apparently if you're like a high profile PlayStation person. Oh, look at the shit I'm wearing.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
So we know the whole Jeff Keighley and Kojima friendship and all this mm-hmm. stuff. Now let's, because and also he's part of the whole doing the whole Game Awards thing. Mm-hmm. What if this game doesn't live up to expectations, or let's say the story just doesn't get up there to the point that people are praising it? Does this impact the next Game Awards and that whole relationship? Because I'm pretty sure everyone's thinking on that end that this will be an amazing story because it's Kojima and that it's going to be great. And what if it's not? What happens with all that?
Just so I understand your question. So you're saying if Death Stranding is not as good as people make it out to be, how is that going to affect the Game Awards? Is that what you're asking?
When it comes to, if let's say it doesn't win an award.
It will. Even if it's bad, people will praise it and talk.
You think so?
Dude, they're already fucking committed. They've got one foot in. They're going to look like idiots if they don't. All the big review sites are just going to fawn over this thing.
Not to mention, I'm not saying that would happen, but not to mention, I always found it a little bit of a weird situation where essentially Kojima is officially a part of the Game Awards board. Yeah. So it's almost like giving a lot, and a lot of like when he got the Lifetime Achievement Award or the thing for Metal Gear Solid 5, I just kind of called that sort of thing into question. Because you just so happen to be the buddy, buddy of the guy that runs the award, so you know what I mean.
All right, but see,
let's just be honest. We've always
the reason why I said because I know the ending, and I because I had no plans of getting it, so I was like, oh yeah, I'm curious with this.
Oh, well, don't talk about it here.
No, of course not.
Yeah, you spoiled it before, Adam.
All I'm saying is that from the reviews, from what people have played, and there was multiple.
I don't want to hear
Adam. I don't want to hear
good or bad.
I'm not setting. I'm just saying that if let's say the expectations don't come out, if this is legit what these people are saying and their view, and this becomes a majority view, how are they going to justify saying, "Oh, we're giving them an award"? Because that means that all sites would have to be on the same page. Wait, and how do you know they're going to give them an
award, though? How do you know they're going to give them an award?
Well, according to Brett, they kiss ass, and this is just going to happen. You guys even said
Kojima's part of the awards. Don't worry, man. They'll figure. Jeff Keighley will bust out a best friend award and give it to him, man.
Yeah. And let's just be honest. No real gamer takes this as a legitimate award show anyway. Come on, man.
The only award I think that he would really want is for the best story. I mean, it doesn't even matter about gameplay and all that. I think it really comes down to story because it's all Kojima, right?
They never give away for best gameplay at the Game Awards, though.
No, well, we're not even talking about them. It's a story for Kojima. It's all about the story.
But let me put it this way, and I'm really not wanting to go this route, but I have no other way to put it.
Now, you know you want to go that route. Come on.
You know you do.
Most of us here were here during the original spawning of Gamergate. We saw the news, the email chains. We saw the collaboration between journalists. Like, the Game Awards are it's a who's who. It's an elbow rubbing, breaking your back to pat yourself on the back kind of thing. And Kojima is so right into the middle of all of that. It doesn't matter. And the big game sites will all get together and write some information about it. And it's honestly just cerebral enough that if you think it's stupid, people can accuse you of not getting it, which is a perfect mixture. Don't get me wrong. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
But
there's also going to be those sites that are going to like shit on the game because of some racial thing. There's somebody's going to bring that up.
What about you, Tony, when you do your review of this
for Death Stranding?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about it?
Clear eyes?
Of course.
Can't go anywhere with Clear Eyes.
Of course. But I will definitely say I'm a Kojima fan right up front.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's going to be difficult even if you want to just give it to whatever. It's just
I've always said if this game is trash, I'm going to treat it as trash. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not going to be like, "Oh, I know this game is trash, but I have to play it up like it's good." I would be if I do that type of shit, no one's going to take me seriously as a fucking journalist anymore. I don't do shit like that, you know?
Yeah, well the thing about it is just the way you sort of do it. In other words, you're going to turn. In other words, there's a obviously you're not going to like totally bash.
No, of course not. I don't do that. You know,
but you're going to probably tell the pros and cons just like anything else, right?
No, of course. I'm going to treat any fucking game. There's no difference
for me. As much as I like Kojima's work, at the same time, I am also at the I'm also fine with seeing it. You know, if something is not good, it's not good.
Yeah.
Like for a long time, I would say to you, Metal Gear Solid 2 was not my favorite game, and it's still not my favorite game, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, like I've said many times, right? This could be Kojima's George Lucas moment, right? Again, we had George Lucas. He made the first three Star Wars movies fucking amazing, right? Then he did the prequels. He didn't have any yet. He had nothing but Yes Men, and it was fucked up. We could have that with Kojima.
Some people say it was his wife that did everything.
Yeah. It's possible.
George Lucas's wife did edit the the original Star Wars movie.
Yeah, but also his producer, I forgot his name, but he basically kept them in check. Like, no, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. With the prequels, he had no checks at all.
Is Kojima married?
He's married.
Yeah.
I think he's got a kid too.
Yeah.
But he never talks about it.
But this is we're gonna see the real Kojima. Like we're gonna see Kojima Unchained. That may be a good thing or a bad thing. We will see on October 8th. You know.
I don't know. I think.
Wait, what?
November
8th. November 8th. My bad. We are already.
Yeah, it already came out.
Yeah. I played this shit.
What did I miss, man?
According to everybody, according to a lot of people on the internet, allegedly, the game is already out now.
That is true. Yeah. When
people showing themselves downloading the game.
November 8th, people. My bad.
Come on, man. Some people think The Last of Us 2 win gold, man.
Yeah. The embargo is on November 1st, though, so that should be. Very interesting.
That's coming soon.
Yeah, that's next week. Not this week, the week after. Oh, man, it's going to be interesting. Oh,
man. And
I'm going to be on Twitter all day.
Big release.
Yeah, Carlos, you need to stop going on vacations, man.
Yeah, man. I'm going to miss Death Stranding. Hopefully, I'm still motivated to play it because fucking Pokemon comes out like right before I leave.
Do you really care about that?
Well, he's going to be playing now while he's away.
Yeah, that's true.
Pokemon.
You have your Switch with you. Don't lie.
Yeah, but like it's the day or two before I leave, like I come back home comes out. So I might get that.
All right, Adam, I'm officially making that question official. So there you go.
Which question?
Is it official?
It's official. So officially official. Excuse all right. me? Actually, this is funny because our next question is about Death Stranding. G Megaforce 123, man, he goes, if Kojima makes a lot of money from Death Stranding, could he buy the Metal Gear IP? Would Konami be willing to sell it if he offered him money?
Let me finish
the question. It's not like Konami's doing anything with the IPs. It would really be Sony buying it, I think. I don't know if Kojima Productions
He wouldn't have enough. But I don't think he would want it.
No, here's the thing. Let's just be honest. I don't think Konami's going to sell that shit.
They're not going to sell to them.
They're not selling it. Konami's not selling it. That's their biggest IP. They're not selling it.
They'll put it on pachinko machines, a coffee machine before they sell it to him.
It would take somebody like a Sony or a Microsoft to do that, to be able to buy that. And that's if Konami is willing to sell it.
I don't think they are.
They're going to sell.
Yeah, nah.
Unless they really want to alleviate themselves of a money making franchise. Because to be honest, I don't know how much Metal Gear Survive did, but I'm sure that made some pretty decent money for them, even if it didn't do that well.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything more to say to this question, to be honest.
Yeah.
Does Kojima even want it back?
I don't think so.
I think he's been done with Metal Gears even before 5 came out.
Well, during 4 he was like, yeah, this is my last one.
He said that ever since 2. Let's just be honest.
Well, 2 was supposed to be the original end. That was even written to be the end. But then what happened was like obviously they were like, hey, we need another one, and he just tried to. What he every single time?
Money.
Every single time
like money.
He tried to do, But every single time what he tried to do is he tried to hand it off to somebody else on the team, and they couldn't do it. So he ended up having to step back in. Okay, this is how you do it. And then he walk away, and then he's like, okay, now you handle it. No, no, can't do it. All right, I got to come back and do this. So it was that each time.
How's the line again? It's like, I try to leave, but they put me back in.
You know, I try to get out, but they keep pulling me back in. It's funny. There's this funky theory that that's like a YouTube guy had done pretty recently. That
Marky Mark?
That essentially
Marky
said,
Mark?
What?
I don't know why it's, Marky Mark.
But, it's a funky theory, man.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
They have this crazy theory that Silent Hills is actually the demo is actually a coded what do they call it? Essentially saying what happened to him at Konami, and they put all these parallels between a bunch of different things in line.
So it was like a horror hallway for him.
Yeah, that's what they were trying. Essentially, there's a lot of metaphors in the game that could be read as that. In fact, that crazy number that you keep seeing all over the place, so it's like 1, 4, 5, that whatever number that you keep on seeing associated with it, that's actually his birthday.
Interesting.
So so somebody put this whole together, and it's like, hey, that does sound like pretty interesting, but I don't think he wants to come back to it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think he's, to be honest, I was done at 4 for me. I was like, all right, this is a good end. We're good. Oh, then we came back for 2 more games.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, okay, I guess we're coming back now.
They weren't bad games, but you know, I was good at 4.
Was Peace Walker after 4?
Peace Walker was after 4.
Yes. Peace Walker was awesome, though.
Peace Walker was awesome, and then essentially 5 is essentially grown up Peace Walker.
Yes.
But here's a funny thing, just talking about Peace Walker. Peace Walker was actually a T for teen game, right?
Yeah.
In Metal Gear 5, a lot of really fucked up things happen to those T for Teen game characters. Like Pat, the girl Paz gets friggin' raped by that other kid. She gets a bomb put inside of her
inside of her nether regions.
The kid gets killed. Then a plane crash. All these horrible things happen to all these T for Teen characters.
Yeah, well, Metal Gear Solid 5 wasn't T for Teen, man.
No, that was a pretty hard
hard R,
right?
R. All right, man. Yeah, for sure. By the way, I hate these type of questions on Twitter, where they're like, hey, ruin something with this. You know what I'm saying? You know those type of things. So he goes, ruin a game from your childhood in one sentence. His example is all the dots are Pac-Man's kids and the ghosts are trying to protect them. That is kind of fucked up.
Him and Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's like they're eating their children. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have enough imagination to come up with anything like that.
I got one. Gears 5 isn't the butt again.
No.
yo, Adam, you good, man?
Adam, what's up, what? Bro?
Yeah, no, it's just
you might get a package in the mail.
I guess something like along the lines like Super Mario is a mass mushroom murderer or something. I don't know.
Oh, he's on shrooms and
yeah.
Oh, I got one. Super Mario is in Italian. He's Mexican.
It's a me.
Look at my mustache. I'm Mexican. Oh man.
I mean, they got all the Italians playing the Mexicans on the spaghetti westerns.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Mario's a fucking undocumented worker.
Oh, whoa.
You know, yeah, I used the PC of verbiage of that, you know. I don't know. You guys have anything? Ruin a game with one sentence?
Ruin a game with one sentence?
Oh, damn.
Tony.
Go ahead.
I got one. Games are just as good playing them a year after they come out, or actually better.
Better. Actually, yeah, I thought you were going to say something like, Tony, The Last of Us is actually a crap game.
Well,
by the way, that's not ruining a game. That's just ruining Glorious Wars Day. One sentence.
Hey, Carlos, would you, in Brian's voice...
Oh, you cut off, Brett.
I said, in Brian's voice, would you fame the Witcher for
him? Oh, God, I need to think of something.
You had to ruin the Witcher for him in one sentence. No Man's Sky, play the initial version. Oh, man. Anybody else?
The Witcher 3 was a bunch of grinding fuckfest.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Ruin a game, huh?
Yeah, ruin a game in a sentence.
That almost sounds too easy.
Okay, so Brett, if it's easy, go for it.
Do it.
What do you want to work for? Okay, Contra, you're actually the Soviet. Zelda, they let you break the pots because they know you've killed before and will again.
Oh shit.
Oh, No Russian, the parents were actually fathered and mothered children that were murderers.
Oh, Little Nemo, it was a stroke dream.
Wait, that was a video game?
Yeah, it was a Little Nemo game.
All right, fair enough. I'm actually getting a few, but I can't say them on air.
Yeah, I was thinking about one with Metroid, but I'm like, nah, I'm going to hold up on this, dog.
I better not say that.
We'll not talk about that.
All right, anybody else?
Okay.
All right, Brett, it's all about the Outer Worlds, man.
The Outer Worlds. Yeah.
Actually, before we go on, remember, guys, if you want to ask us any questions, please feel free to. We're here for, like, another hour if you want us. Anyway, Brett, Outer Worlds, go.
All right, there's actually a few things I want to cover on this topic. Well, Tony, what he...
Brett, you're cutting out, bro.
Am I? Dude, I'm...
Maybe your battery's low, or maybe there's interference.
Or Discord's being stupid.
All possible options.
You're good now.
I want to cover a few things on that. I want to hear Tony's mini review, his thoughts. I'd like to give mine, and I think this is interesting because I've talked for a long time about the grand experiment to see somebody try and make a Bethesda game that wasn't Bethesda. So I find it really interesting that we can now have some sort of something to compare a Bethesda game against and find out what's working and what's not. So Tony, let me get your basic thoughts that you've told me.
Yeah, because I already reviewed the game based on about 30 hours. I didn't beat the game yet, but like, because I remember, you know, you told me specifically, it's like, Tony, this is not Fallout, right? 5 seconds in, I'm like, this is fucking super Fallout. 30 hours later, my thoughts have not changed. It is at least everything I expect from a Fallout game. You have, like, first and foremost, janky-ass animations with weird characters, like ugly-looking characters in the world. Same kind of skill tree, same perks, same, like, weird, irreverent kind of humor. Same kind of 1940s, 1950s type of retro-futuristic feel. Yeah, like the weapon system is all like Fallout. Everything about this just screams Fallout. The quests are like Fallout, you know, in terms of like, you know, how you go about them. The dialogue trees are just like Fallout. Everything, this is Fallout, except it doesn't have the name Fallout to me, and it's in a different setting. Like, there's almost no difference. Obviously, you can't like pick up every random thing you want. You can't like drag a body around the countryside or whatever. But other than that, like 90% of what I expect from a Fallout game is in this. You know, so I almost see no difference, to be honest.
A lot of people say that it's the best parts of Fallout because it's not as long and just miscellaneous quests. It's like they said that every objective is for a purpose and there's a point, and every character you interact with actually is interesting.
Yeah, actually, you bring up a good point. This is a more streamlined Fallout experience. Like, everything you want from a Fallout game is in there, just streamlined to the extreme. There's a couple of problems I have with it, but that's my general thought of it. If you like Fallout, you're going to like this game. It's just, it's comfort food. If you like Fallout, like, I'm playing this, I'm like, oh, I'm back in the same mode. I'm playing, you know, mentally, I'm in that Fallout mode, and it works perfectly. There's no, like, disorientation or anything, like, where I'm like, oh, that's not like Fallout. Everything's like Fallout to me in this game. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I used the word Fallout in my review more than The Outer Worlds. You know, that's how closely it is to it. All right, Brett, so that's my view. Good game. I'm not going to give it 9 out of 10 like you said. I would probably give it, because I don't do numerical reviews, but I would probably give it a 7 out of 10. And I would give Fallout an 8 out of 10, you know, just for comparison's sake.
Interesting. Why would you rate Fallout higher?
Oh, why would I rate it higher? Because they did it first. That's why.
Okay, fair enough.
Because this is just an imitation to me. It's an imitation for lack of a better term. You know,
it's funny because it's kind of an imitation of an imitation.
Yeah, that is also true.
Anyway. Because they created this company.
They worked on it. Yeah, New Vegas.
They worked on New Vegas. Well, no,
before
yeah.
that they did a game.
They did another one too.
They did the original Fallout, didn't they?
No, I don't think so.
No, yeah,
they
no.
did the first two. They made Fallout
the original.
One.
Yeah, the original.
Not, okay.
Oh, not the Sierra ones.
But yeah, no,
the original ones were made by Sierra. They were made by
Interplay.
Interplay. Yeah. Wasn't that? Yeah, this is an Interplay though.
But yeah, it's made by Obsidian,
which used to be Black Isle Studios, which worked on Fallout 1 and 2, and New Vegas.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess final thoughts. Yeah, this is the DNA of Fallout is strong with this one.
I would agree with that. okay, so you ready to hear what I think?
Yes.
Okay, you are correct in that this is kind of Fallout. It is like the bagged cereal version of Fallout, though. Like, yes, it's everything you would expect when Frosted Flakes come in this bag. Flakes, sugar, it's all there. But it's not quite the same. Don't get me wrong, I love this game already. It is amazing. And it excels in a lot of ways that Fallout actually doesn't. In things like, weirdly enough, that other games have done. It almost has a BioWare-esque dialogue and companion tree. And like the story branches and revolves around things in a way that you kind of wanted Mass Effect 2 that, you know, the first two did, in a way that the first two Mass Effects did. So that's really cool. And yeah, you have a lot of the same dialogue options repeated, kind of like you did in Fallout, but it's not three nice options and a snarky option. It's four options to be an asshole and one option to be a nice guy. But it's all flavored completely differently. And so you can actually tailor conversations pretty organically. In fact, there's sometimes where you have, you know, things just randomly pop up where you say something like, I think you owe me an apology. And they'll be like, I'm sorry. I actually shouldn't have said that. And like their disposition changes and you can continue the dialogue tree. It's pretty cool. However, where it changes is the sandbox playground aspect of it is pretty much erased. As these guys say, it's a streamlined experience. The quests aren't bountiful. There are a lot of them, and most of them actually tie into some of the other ones that have consequences. And I haven't gotten far enough along, but I imagine there's kind of resolutions at the end of each planet where, you know, some of your choices that you've made on how to deal with the town and all the thing and the choices you're making there kind of wind up. So that's really cool. But you can't pick up all the items. And not only that, all the items are not visible. Some are highlighted that you can obviously pick up, so it's very clear what's loot and what's not. And it kind of feels like Red Dead in the sense that you have ammo, weapons, and food. And food gives you health and bonus perks, and that's about it. You find generic weapon parts, quote-unquote. Everything is very kind of streamlined and a little bit Disney-fied. So it's got a great flavor to it, but it does not have the depth that Fallout does because, you know, even just walking around town, half the people are named Resident. So I find it very interesting that there's a lot cut out. A lot of people may say it's the stuff that doesn't matter. And I'll put that on the back burner for a minute and kind of raise the question I've been asking myself. If it doesn't matter, why does it still look the same? Why does it still feel the same? Why does it still share a lot of the same faults that come in that Bethesda Fallout DNA? Why haven't they been worked out? Because this game has been streamlined. It's on Unreal Engine. Why shouldn't it be better? And that kind of leads me to the big arcing point of the conversation of the topic that I want to hit is this what happens when somebody makes a Bethesda game that isn't Bethesda? And do they do it as well? And I said this was going to be a big experiment coming into this game for a while now. One of the reasons I was excited to play it. I got to kind of say, my opinion is they didn't manage to build a Bethesda experience. They did not manage to build a rich sandbox world that keeps people playing for hundreds of hours the way that Bethesda manages to. Now, that being said, the game is fucking awesome. To me, it's like BioShock or some of the original BioWare games. Like, it's a fun game. It's everything you wanted Rage to be and thought that Rage might be.
They said they were going for that experience of people actually finishing the game, because if that's one thing that they had talked to a lot of people that played Fallout, and we all know this, it's like a lot of people played it, but they never finished it. They got sidetracked with all the side missions and other things going on. So from what they were saying, was it 15 to 30 hours or something like that for this game, so you can finish it within 15? So it's not that long.
I don't know if it's 15, but maybe if you drive straight through the...
Yeah, they want a speed run, yeah, because what is it? You can shoot your the NPCs are giving you missions, and you don't have to do the mission. And you can still,
So you can just cut straight through and the story will actually lend itself to that thing. Like, the game will be like, okay, so you're just being cut through, taking whatever you want. So, like, you can. And that's, it's an intentional thing, and I just don't know if it's as good a thing, because it pulls back the whole problem / great thing with Bethesda games is the sheer scale and scope. Everybody has a fucking name. Everybody's doing something during a certain part of the day. They have a routine. They have a bed they go back to sleep in. You can go and you can fucking throw a bunch of spoons on their bed if so fancy you. Like, everything is an interactive, connected world. And it's not so much any of the small examples that I give. Like, I don't really give a shit about throwing spoons on somebody's bed. But the fact that the world is interactive and tailored to the extent where you can begin to play with these interactive systems, I think is the big draw of Bethesda games. But also the big reason that they are so fucking janky.
Yeah.
And I've admitted before that this isn't a big revelation, ooh gosh moment. Like, I've admitted before, they're janky. But that's just kind of something that comes along with the territory. So I got to say, as much as I love this game, I wouldn't call it a Fallout experience. Fallout experience makes it sound like it's got that depth to it. It's a game that you can swim in for years if you want. It can be a fucking hobby. That's not what this game is. And the reason it's not that isn't anything other than the fact that it just doesn't have as much. So I'm not saying this game is bad, because that's like saying, like, this slice of cake is bad because it's not a whole cake. That would be the kind of logic.
So what do you think? You think if it sells well, because the developers that said if it sells well, they will make another one. Do you think the sequel will be that big open world experience, or do you think they'll stick to this formula?
I think they'll stick to this formula, and I think that belies something interesting, and I think and I hate to sound like I'm smoking Bethesda's pull here, but the games that they make that are, you know, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, the games that run on that engine, it may be a weird, janky, shoddy engine, but it's the only one that's ever been able to do that. And I kind of feel like Obsidian backed down from that because they didn't have an answer to it. Nobody does. Not yet.
I mean, do you think that they also probably yearned to do something a little bit smaller? Because, I mean, obviously the original, like, if you've played the original Fallout, it's a long game, but it's not nearly as long as the later ones. You know, obviously the ones that are made by Bethesda and everything.
I don't think they set out to make a Fallout-type game.
Yeah, and that's what I think it is. I think they have their DNA of things that they like to do. But I also think, I don't think they were officially going to try to make the answer to Fallout.
Yeah, so the big answer to the experiment of can somebody make a Bethesda-style game, this doesn't answer it, because they didn't really try. Mm-hmm. So the question still remains elusive. But I do have to say, like, I think this is missing something that a lot of the Bethesda games have. Even honestly, I hate to say it, Fallout 76. As janky as it is. And I don't understand why this game has so many of the same problems. And it sounds weird. I have mixed feelings about this because I'm complaining about shit that I generally don't care about. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I kind of feel like, well, if I'm making the concessions of not being able to dig through a lived-in world, then why does everybody look like a fucking puppet?
By the way, I've noticed that in general, a lot of games have really bad-looking characters nowadays. I don't know what that's all about.
But your main character, it's funny because I was impressed that the main character doesn't look like a weird freak.
Yeah. Brett, to quote you, I disagree with what you said. To me, like, again, this is my opinion because of what I look for in a Fallout game. To me, it seems like these guys sit down and say, yo, we're going to do our answer to fucking Fallout. Because I'm like, this game just screams Fallout from every single instance I play. I'm like, Fallout. You know, like everything's just Fallout. Like it's just constantly in my face. You know,
the flavor is, the structure isn't. It's like a sibling Fallout, right? Like you can tell it shares the same DNA, but it's expressed a little bit differently. Like the same flavor is there, but the structure.
It's the same family, and it's again. To me, it's obviously trying to be Fallout, just a more streamlined version. So I think,
and the more streamlined version is the important thing, because I kind of agree with you there. We might be agreeing. Like I feel like this is Fallout if you blended it, say, with like BioShock.
I can see that.
Blended it with a more mainstream game, the DNA, like the deep sandbox roots, don't come through as pure on this game, but you also get a more streamlined experience that's more accessible to the masses. Yeah, you don't have to trudge through as much crap to get to it.
Yeah, so like, for example, like when I play Fallout, I don't interact with anything that doesn't need to be interacted with. Like I'm like, hey, I'm gonna take a bunch of forks and put them on a fucking road and just make a my own like road. I don't do shit like that. I'm like, let me just go to my objective, do my thing. You know?
No, I don't either. But it changes. So even the way textures pop in, like the game has a cartoonish kind of set piece-ish world, like where you almost feel like, when I use the word Disneyfication, I mean like it feels almost real, but it also feels like a stage set. Yeah. Everything in that game kind of feels like a stage set, and that's not a bad thing because most games feel that way. But the thing where Fallout makes the difference is the environment half the time is not only telling you a story, but it's incredibly detailed. And because you can pick up and mess with anything, and the shit that you do need to pick up is kind of mixed in with the shit that you don't, you have this kind of situational awareness that creates for a more slow, prodding kind of cerebral gameplay, right? Like you're not just running in there and mowing down a bunch of raiders, kicking ass and setting fire to the whole thing so you can ride off into the sunset. You're rolling in there like trying to kill people, looking for where they keep their money, pick it up, you know, digging through the bodies, find the stuff you want so that you can go and take it back to town so that you hit the main story in these big signpost moments, but you weave between them kind of doing your own thing and finding your own way. It's a very loose kind of organic way for a game to play through. And sometimes that leads you off the rails and you get stuck. You know, the less you're on rails, the more chance you have to get bogged down. But that's, again, it's vanilla versus chocolate, though. Like, it's not a bad thing that this game didn't do that. It definitely still scratches a lot of that Fallout itch, but it's not. This game is not going to have legs like Skyrim. And the reason Skyrim had legs the way that it did isn't just because it was released on every system, but was because it was pretty much a hobby in and of itself. The main storyline is not that fucking long in any Bethesda game. 35 hours, maybe?
Yeah.
You can burn straight through that shit. But there are so many options. It's not like a theme park. This game is built like a theme park where there are the obvious attractions that you go to the next space. And that's great if you have, you know, if you want to get the experience, if you want it to be streamlined, if you want to get through to your next game. But it's not that I'm going to live in this world. I think that's a big reason why Skyrim and Fallout have such a cult following.
Do you think that also the reason why the direction of this game is made the way Obsidian probably doesn't have nearly have the size of a team as, let's say, Bethesda does?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's exactly what's going on. What all signs to me are pointing to, kind of not concrete proof, but substantial evidence that as janky and broken and stupid as Fallout's or Bethesda's engine seems to be, it's that way because it's incredibly complicated. I've watched so many games attempt to do anything similar and fail or get close and veer away at the last second. I don't think Bethesda has a secret sauce, but I think that the type of game that they're making is incredibly hard. And incredibly hard to do, incredibly hard to maintain, balance and incredibly hard, and that's why we get those classic Bethesda glitches, is because it's not because it's a team full of idiot developers, but maybe it's a team full of people who are just working on a near impossible product. This game has changed my perception of Bethesda, because I was honestly getting a little pissy at them for a lot of the same reasons everybody else has. You know, I'm still a big fan, but it, some of these things piss me off.
Well, I mean, but to be honest, they still are using the same engine.
No, they're using Unreal 2.
Yeah,
no,
Unreal 4.
Oh, no. No, these guys, Obsidian is using Unreal 4.
Yeah.
But Bethesda's still using...
Yeah, janky shit. Whatever.
Crazy engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's janky, but like... And that's where my perception changed.
And they, and in other words, I hear it's actually pretty horrible. It's kind of heavy, hard to develop for, and stuff like that. And I think it, I think the biggest issue of it is just it's because it's antiquated tech.
And that's it's antiquated tech, but it's also apparently the more advanced engines, because it's the only thing that can do this. To me, it feels like
is it the only thing that can do it? I don't.
I've never seen a game be able to do what. Like, and apparently nothing has actually tried, and I don't know why.
I mean, to be honest, maybe it's just the fact that it is because there is so much that needs to be created for. I mean, I've heard The Witcher gets pretty damn close. Not to the fact where you're moving everything, though.
No, well, it,
but as far as
the Bethesda engine,
story, like there, yeah.
If I remember, because and this is old information, so like back in I want to say. After Elder Scrolls 3, I want to say Elder Scrolls 4-ish, they were talking about, maybe it was Elder Scrolls 3, the way that the system is developed is it's actually developed as a working world, where each character in the world is given their own profile, their own inventory, and they're programmed to go through a series of tasks that designate their daily life cycle. But they're also designated... Yeah, but they're also designated to interact with each other should they run into each other. So they kind of have this adaptive thing where they go throughout the day and they'll run into each other while one's buying flowers and the other one's in the market, and they'll have a small conversation. And that's not something that's pre-written or anything into there. That's what happens when they're going through their routine and they collide. And so you overlap this, you know, 100 fucking times to get a small town of people. And every time you bump or change somebody's direction, it causes this butterfly effect where things kind of ripple and everything changes. And it's not a big thing, and there's no real consequence to it. It just makes the world feel more lived in. And it's a really weird way to design things, too, because you've just designed a bunch of interactive systems and then let them play together. And in theory, everything should work. But of course, that's where those glitches come from, is when those systems don't play nice with each other. And I think they've just taken that idea and built on it. It's such a backwards, weird way to build a system, but you end up with this super lived-in world where nobody's following a routine, where nobody is, you know, just standing in front of a house waiting for an adventurer to come. They actually go and chop wood and cook dinner and, you know, go sell their stuff at the market and then come back. And when you bust in as an adventurer, you're interrupting their fucking lives. It's just a weird way to develop an engine. So maybe Bethesda will be the only people that ever make this type of game. Like, and that's what's weird, because this sounds like I'm like, I feel like this should be a thing. I'm thinking of this now, but I've wanted other people to copy this since Elder Scrolls 3. I've been waiting for this shit to happen for at least a decade. So now I'm starting to ask the question, is anybody ever going to develop an immersive system that's based off of an actual living world? We're just going to get more intricate set pieces.
Yo, man, wait for Cyberpunk.
Yeah, right.
I feel like Cyberpunk is going to be the ultimate series of pieces.
Oh, really? Oh, Brian. Oh, Brian's here, by the way. What's going on, Brian?
Oh, my birthday!
Brian, hey, man, what's your thoughts on this, man?
Yo, damn farmers, man. The damn clocks.
Oh, you guys have that shit already, man?
I thought you guys were better.
No. Funny enough, the EU just is voting to cancel that, but then since Britain is about to leave the EU at some point in the future, it'll be undone. I don't know what the question is, but I feel like Brett's answer, because I remember I seen a video where the woman from Red Dead Redemption 2 was like speaking over it, saying how like they have like a character engine thing where each character has like its own set roles and it does its own like routine stuff.
Yeah, you can follow
Red, something. Yeah, that game does a really good job of it. That's true.
Yeah,
actually, they do a great job. I do have to give them that.
Yeah, Like, you really feel like that world is living even if you're not playing in it, you know?
There was a series of videos where I forgot what a YouTuber did it, but they essentially just followed one character throughout the day and went through all the different things and essentially made, like, a little movie with them.
That's
like,
right.
Things they do.
So, Brett, there you go. That one's doing it. Like, you could literally follow a character and he has an exact day and everything, you know, a full day.
Yes. Yeah. Yes and no. The big difference there is it's not persistent. And don't get me wrong, they do an amazing job, and it fucking helps. But they still don't have. You can't shoot somebody dead in the middle of the street, come back 2 days later, and still find them laying there.
Yeah, well, somebody probably took care of them. You know, it's a town. You know, they got. Fucking,
you know, you can make that up. You fill that gap in your head, but like.
But you're right. Brett, I'm going to meet you halfway, right? What if you shoot a body and you hang out in the cut, right? And you actually see somebody take him away. That would be
better than both other options. I would love to see,
that's Red Dead 2, Red Dead Redemption.
Because Fallout and Oblivion, Skyrim, they actually just some bones sit there.
Not just some bones, the full, like, you can kill somebody, take off their pants, throw them on them, and then just walk away, and people just leave them in the town days on end. Like, I'd love for you to, like, stab somebody and, like, have to talk to the guards about, like, I don't know, officer, I just found this way when I got here. And as you're talking, the townspeople just walks by and goes, oh, it's a hat, like, picks up the hat and just fucking saunters off with it. Like, that would be the ultimate thing. But again, that would come from overlapping systems where you would have an NPC basically recognize that there's loot and be like, oh, and that'd be great. That's what I want for my video games, is I want looping interactive systems that I'm allowed to then kind of play with and fuck with. So, like, if we have a game where an NPC will kind of, like, you'll know that, like, oh, they follow loot. Like, people follow loot. Like, okay, now I can do all kinds of crazy shit. Like, if I need to lead somebody out of town, like, maybe just throw a little bit of loot out. Maybe a few more dollars. Just breadcrumb that motherfucker out of town and kill him with a hatchet.
By the way, doesn't GTA do something like that? Like, if you hurt somebody in the street, like, the ambulance will show up and you bring them back to life? So they do that a little bit, too, you know?
Yeah, and you can call an ambulance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they'll pick them up and take them away.
And if there's an explosion, the firefighters show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a fully persistent, interactive, world like that. Like, that's my dream game. And Bethesda comes the closest to it, I think, still so far. But I think this is interesting, especially in the face of somebody releases a very Bethesda-ish game in the hate of, or in the middle of all, because there's still a lot of Bethesda hate going on.
Yeah.
Especially
Didn't Bethesda just release on the same day some Ultimate Collection?
Yeah, they did.
Fallout.
Oh, you guys should have asked those questions about that, man, because there's some shit going on. Like, if you're in there and you're visibly wearing, like, Fallout First gear, other players will gang up on you. Like, that's happening. It's crazy. Really? Man. Yeah, like, you know how they offer you, like, a special, like, skin if you have the Fallout First or whatever? If apparently players that have that shit already, the guys who signed up for the subscription servers are getting beaten up by other players.
That's fucking hilarious, and they should just allow that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going on right now, but yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's schoolyard rules, bro.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Come wearing a set of new fucking Nikes because your dad's rich. I don't know why, but prepare to get your ass kicked. That's just a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's not the Chicago rules, right?
No.
That's like walking into the Bronx with a friggin'
with anything, even a T-shirt.
That rule applies to Bronx.
They will kill you over freaking Hanes T-shirt.
They'll throw eggs at you, man.
That place is. I'm telling you.
Yeah, places. Yeah.
Oh. You guys heard about how, like, you know how those people are going to the stairs because of the Joker movie? Mm-hmm. There's some guy throwing eggs at people now.
I friggin' said that shit. I said, listen, watch some shit happen. I mean, like I know that stairway. Me and my brother, we used to walk down that stairway. That place was not a fucking nice area, man.
It's
still not a nice area. No. That's the reason why they filmed the Joker there, because it still looks like fucking 1985 over there.
Fucking all burnt down. Yeah, that's the shit. People are like, oh, you can't develop anywhere. Go to the Bronx. It looks like they just had a war and there's all these burnt out lots. Remember, it's just nobody wants to build there.
Yeah, they've tried to gentrify. The shit don't take in the Bronx, man.
Nobody wants to go there.
Sing the song, South Bronx. South Bronx.
You're
Yo, Adam, I forgot, but I know you're Adam Fiberg, but was the Bronx ever part of that?
My dad lives in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. So okay. And whenever I went to visit there, and then also Manny's dad lives in the Bronx.
Yeah, my dad lives in the Bronx.
Yeah, you motherfuckers from Brooklyn talking about the hard. You ain't hard, man. You ain't shit. Go to the Bronx, man.
Back when Adam still lived there, they were hard.
But, yeah, they were hard back in the day. But I'm talking about you guys have guys that are like around now. Some people that we've had on the show before. Talking about, yo, man, Brooklyn, son.
Well, it depends. What part of Brooklyn? That's the thing. What part? Because a lot of it has changed. I mean, or at least they're trying to change it, like Bed-Stuy and stuff like that. It's not what it used to be.
Bro.
And I guess that's a good thing because they're trying to clean it up. But
bro, I went to Williamsburg like 2 years ago. I'm like, what the
fuck? Oh, that's a whole other one. That's a whole
other. Williamsburg when I was a kid. Yeah, when I was a kid, that shit was not like that, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on because we actually do have some questions. Thanks to GZDR, man.
Dude, real life is hard when you don't have cheat codes.
Yeah, so man. I know. I'm going to ask an intermediate question related to this. And this might be a biased question, but we'll go, like, what place goes harder, Queens or Brooklyn?
Queens or Brooklyn? I mean, well, you got to go Brooklyn. There's really nothing crazy in Queens besides Queensbridge.
The hard parts of Brooklyn are still pretty fucking hard.
Go to Coney Island. Coney Island is fucking rough. So.
Yeah.
Coney Island, East New York, Bed-Stuy.
East New York, Bed-Stuy. Parts of that style.
Both those places better than St. Louis.
Oh shit!
Queens is the most diverse borough in the city, but the worst neighborhood I heard probably name is Jamaica. And
that's that's true. All right, so GZR asks, I feel like he's asked this question before. Will Death Stranding outsell Spider-Man? Knowing Kojima has a Spider-Man is the most recognizable character after Superman.
you got kids that don't play any games that know Spider-Man. Exactly. Just want Spider-Man just because of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is just he's
the icon.
He's in the zeitgeist.
Not only that, but that game had a lot of hype for nailing its mechanics and its gameplay. Everybody knew that game. That game fucking nailed it even before it was released.
Yeah. For a split second there, I thought Brett was gonna go full Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, full Brett.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit! Oh, I wonder what
Brett liked that game.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man. You have motherfuckers in the third world wearing t-shirts of Spider-Man. They ain't wearing no Kojima t-shirts out there, you know?
No, I don't get platinums, but I do get them on Spider-Man, though.
Was a good pal of platinum.
That was a fun one.
Get that in a couple of days, man.
Norman Reedus ain't no Spider-Man.
You know?
And you know what? A buddy of mine pointed out, he's like, yo, remember Norman Reedus was a star of the first-person shooter Walking Dead game, and that didn't sell. Remember?
That's right.
That game was hard.
He's actually not in it. It's only his likeness is in it. They have a sound alike in there.
He doesn't even do the voice work.
Wow.
No, not in those first person shooter games. Oh, no. Wow. That's how they're able to get it through. So like it's because there's a little inside work on this stuff.
Excuse me.
So as an actor, as an actual actor on television and stuff like that, you have to actually whenever there's two types of rights. There's the likeness rights and there's also just the voice rights, right? And usually, most of the time, whenever an actor does like licensing and stuff like that, action figures, they're just selling off the likeness rights. To have both of them together makes the actor, to have the actor in a game or anything else more expensive. So if you just had a voice, kind of like the way they did with Keith Sutherland, it's actually cheaper to have that or his likeness separate from each other as opposed to the whole deal.
Yeah, that's why you get actors who don't have speaking roles. Pay them.
So they're just paying just to show up. They don't have a speaking role. Like there's a recent movie there was a movie with Jim Carrey in it, right? And he literally, the role he's playing in there, he doesn't have a speaking role. So he's getting paid differently to do that type of role. And even he didn't even look like himself. So yeah, that's the way these sorts of things work. So it's cheaper. It's cheaper to have somebody's voice or their likeness in a game separately as opposed to together. So that's why if you ever notice all those CSI games from back in the day, they used to have all the characters in it but yet they were all kind of sound a little off because they all had them replaced by a bunch of sound alikes.
Well, they didn't do that with the X-Files game, sculling them. That was them.
Come on, what are they doing? Like,
but this was way back when it was hot. That's it. It would have come out now. The X-Files game would have come out. That show was still on, and I remember I had that game for PC. I was excited.
I think also the X-Files game only had their likenesses and not their voices. Or yeah. sometimes what happens, they're only able to get one person and not the other. And the more expensive actor they can't get, so they can only get their likeness, and then they have one person that's just doing the voice. So it's all kind of weird stuff like that. Again, for a game like a CSI game, they can't get the whole ensemble cast in there. So what they do is they maybe opt out for the most iconic voice, and then they just kind of like all the rest of them are all just a bunch of sound alike. So that's what happened in that
one. I wonder if that's why Ajax didn't want to come back for the war. Let me fucking tweet that motherfucker.
All right. And the last, by the way, as usual, throw down professionals, man. We're going to give you a full show tonight, man. This is good. Okay. So what elements would be needed to make a good God of War multiplayer game? Very
don't interesting. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Come on, don't do it. Not everything needs a goddamn
yeah.
Come on now.
Well, here, you know what? We want to know a good multiplayer idea, and this is not for versus multiplayer. What if there was a two-player mode?
Oh, co-op?
Like co-op?
Well, we have it.
Against beat your friends with swords.
We had it with this kid. We thought that was going to happen in an update. Remember, a lot of people thought, "Oh, there's going to be an update."
I thought there was going to be an update.
You know?
I don't know. Here's the funny thing about Sony. I don't know why they've never actually done anything like that, where they've actually it kind of would be cool if you're playing an Uncharted game and the other guy's playing Sully or the other person's playing, you know, Miranda or whatever.
But they're talking about not co-op competitive.
Yeah, Brad, give us your thoughts. You're the multiplayer guy here.
These guys hate on the idea of hitting your friends in the face with a sword. I think it's a great plan.
In a God of War game?
Dude, God of War could actually be a great setting if you do it in the God of War world and don't follow Kratos necessarily. Like, take a different pantheon that's just going through like a Ragnarok situation and it's just a fucking free-for-all.
Well, kind of like God of War Ascension? The multiplayer net?
That was ass, by the way.
No, I'm thinking more along the lines of I hate to say it, but like you could almost not quite a battle royale, but have like a free for all, like an open map kind of free for all where you can pick a god and battle for dominion or create a god and then, you know, battle for dominion. And you could easily turn it into some MMO type of thing, or you could turn it into what is that? That one game. I can't remember the name of it. There's
Star Citizen.
No, it was the one I was just bitching about how expensive it was because you have to
Red Dead Redemption 2 online.
No, I guess I need to be more specific. Anyway, I think the big problem is a lot of these games are enjoyable because you can stun the ever-loving fuck out of your enemy. And in multiplayer, you have the problem where you can't just stun lock somebody to death. You have to give them a chance to retaliate. So you could do something based in the world, and you could do a sort of brawler. You could even do like a open world survival game, kind of like Conan. I could see a game built around that, where essentially you go out and you slay things in order to gain power and gain followers, and you kind of have a little temple that you're building up or something like that, and other players are allowed to try and assault you or your temple or stop you from doing missions or whatever to try and subvert your power, and essentially you have a War of the Gods situation. That'd be a fun fucking game.
So just like a big free-for-all battle game.
I mean, that would the only thing that would really make sense in the story is, you know, God of War is all about bring gods. And so, yeah, maybe you don't have a place that's untouched by Kratos, but is going through, you know, a Ragnarok situation or, you know, an all-out, you know, War of the Gods situation kind of thing. Like you see in, you know, you read in a lot of, you know, ancient mythos and a lot of, you know, like ancient Greece. Yeah, before there was Zeus, there was, you know, a huge battle of the Titans of the Gods.
Yeah, but like mechanically, how would this work? Like, what would your goals be? Like in the multiplayer?
personally, if I were to make it, I would actually take an Eastern approach to it and do Shintoism.
Talking about like mechanics, like battle mechanics.
I'm telling you, it ties into this because that's the idea. There's kind of a spiritual realm overlaid across the normal realm, and so the idea is the mechanics would probably be you would have NPCs in the world and you would have quests, and the idea would be to complete these quests for these NPCs in kind of a black and white type situation where the more you express your power as a god, you start as like a small, feeble, low rank god kind of thing. The more you express your influence as a god, the more believers you get and the more power you get. And this is manifested both in your level and like a little temple that you can like place down or whatever that you see like visually build up and more followers come around it. And that's essentially the node that you have to defend. And so you have a node that you have to defend. And meanwhile, you're going out into the world trying to complete these quests. And your goal is to complete quests and build as big a following as possible while fighting other players. And other players are trying to complete the quests and destroy your temple. So you're defending your temple, destroying other people's temple, and completing quests. And that determines the power level of your god or whatever. And you essentially have turf wars.
Interesting.
So you would almost turn it into the mechanics of a Fortnite-type situation where you have a season that goes on, right?
Oh, God.
And maybe during this season, I'm trying to make this mainstream, all right? I know it's sickening, but like you have a season that goes on, right? And so throughout the season, you can just log in, complete quests, battle other gods, increase your ranking, blah blah blah, and you know your goal is to be the strongest god possible. So it's kind of boiled down to like almost mechanically a KDR thing. Like how many quests have you succeeded in? How many temples have you assaulted?
Hey Brett,
yo,
is it just me or does this sound like Absolver?
I was gonna say the same thing.
Not really. It has, I guess, core mechanics that are kind of the same. But that was probably just one of the reasons that I liked Absolver. So if it shares a structure with Absolver, it's probably coincidental or the reason I liked Absolver the other way around.
That's fair.
I don't know. For me, it's like multiplayer games. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I wouldn't lobby for any good, like, great single player games to get a multiplayer unless they have a vision for what a multiplayer should be.
See, I just want them. I want them intertwined, and that's one of the reasons I wanted Fallout 76 to work so well, or I wanted Sea of Thieves to work so well. Like, I want a game that I can play my open world experience in, but then have other players adding to the richness of that world. Like, yeah, somebody may go all Trevor on me in my multiplayer world, but there are bandits out in the wilderness. Like, if there's supposed to be an area that I'm nervous, like, you know, a no man's land, I'm supposed to be really cautious and nervous and scared about as a player to cross, have there be fucking other psychopath players there. Have that just be, you know, an area where your god does just spawn into other players, like a la Dark Souls kind of thing, and just fuck up other people. Because the only time I'm ever nervous is when I have to fight another goddamn player. Even in Dark Souls, like, you give me the biggest boss, like, it's not as scary. Like, your heart doesn't start pounding the way it does when an invader comes. And it's not because they're more difficult, it's because there's this you don't know what they're going to do. So I would personally love to have the multiplayer incorporated into the single player, and not all of it necessarily be PvP, like some PvP, some co-op. Maybe you know, you're riding a train from point A to point B and somebody else is trying to hijack it. I kind of liked how GTA did that sometimes. Sometimes it was super annoying, but you know, so I think the idea of sewing a multiplayer experience into kind of something that can be almost played single player is my ideal thing, which is one of the reasons I love GTA Online so much. Before they just fucking ruined it.
Yeah, it's still in the NPDs, man.
It is, but y'all know it's not the same. You can't pretend it's the same. Don't tell me you don't wish for those original days of GTA Online.
Not to derail the show, but aside from all the add-ons, what's changed? Because it's still the same shit to me.
Dude, back when we first started, I had people, you know, pulling up to me, strangers having me get in the car so we could roll around and rob liquor stores and steal helicopters. Like, people were still enjoying the game. They hadn't quite turned rabid on each other yet. So there was that. Like, now everybody's a complete troll. It's gotten way worse.
I've only ever known that's trolly. Like, as soon as the motherfuckers start ripping on you.
Brett, Let me let me throw you down to reality, because every time I hear you talk about these things, like I'm not gonna brine them. Every time I hear him talking about these things, I always hear like an idealized version of what multiplayer games should be.
Yeah, whenever, the first few weeks.
But for me, whenever I play these games, it's always the fucking trolls. It's always the fucking.
Do you play at the very, very beginning?
Yeah.
I played it day one.
And yeah, so did I, and I was getting fucking ripped apart by random motherfuckers. You know?
I was getting ripped apart, but I was also getting joined by random.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen.
Easy fitty. You know, Crystal back me up. Dark Souls is a prime example. When it for the first 2 weeks when it comes out, it's all about camaraderie. It's all about, you know, praise the sun, motherfucker.
Oh, we're
talking about GTA right now, man. GTA is a fucking wild west, man.
And Dark Souls gives you that option. Like you can invade all day, right? You could just ruin somebody's game and do that. There's plenty of people that did that. There's plenty of people co-op, you pick up signs. But Dark Souls kind of lent itself to that. GTA lends itself to just maniacs.
Yes.
I have a theory about this. When there's still new and fresh content, players will play it. And they'll band together to play it. When they've run through that content and acquired those rewards and gotten super badass, that's when they turn on each other and essentially becomes a murder fest.
Don't you remember when we played Red Dead 2? We jumped on when it launched and then people were just going like a prison just broke out.
I blame GTA for that. Yeah. I blame GTA for that 100%.
No, I was gonna say, like, I played GTA 4 online on day one and GTA 5 when it finally launched. And it was the same shit. Motherfuckers just running around killing each other.
You didn't have any random fun encounters?
Somebody comes up to you, you shoot them first because they will kill you.
Yeah.
If you don't team up with your buddies, then yeah, forget about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, only with
oh,
your,
man.
Only with, love, wait, wait, only with your friends. Yeah. But even if you're playing with Brian, you can't trust that dude.
Damn, Brian.
That dude will derail you off the track and shit.
Yeah, sorry, Brett. I've never had that experience. Go ahead, Brian.
I think what Brett's trying to say is that if you play long enough, you will find that room where people aren't assholes. Because again, I am on Brett's side on this. Like, there are rooms where people are just not assholes like that. Yes, there are lots of rooms where they're plenty of assholes, but eventually you come across one where it's like, hey, this room's full of okay people that don't lick windows for a living.
But again, it's not like I play GTA 5 for 30 minutes. If you look at my time, I logged in over 100 hours, maybe one time there was...
All I'm going to say is, if you keep smelling shit, maybe you should check your shoe.
When I wanted to do missions, I would select the mission, and then I'd create a lobby, and then people, they jump in, obviously, because they want to complete that mission. And then we go and we do the drive-by.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he quickly learned if somebody approaches you, you shoot them before they shoot you.
That's free roaming.
Which means Tony's response. Yeah, which means Tony's response to everybody within a 50-meter radius of him in free roam is shoot them in the face.
Yeah.
And he wonders why people are aggressive to him.
But Brett, you don't understand. Why did I start reacting that way? Because everybody kept fucking shooting me, even though I was trying to be nice. So I'm like, okay, if that's the way this thing's going to grow, I'm just going to fucking kill you guys.
Absolutely. You know? Brett, like, the reason I drive certain vehicles, like the Night Shark or whatever, is because every motherfucker has an oppressor and shoots missiles at you as soon as they see you.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. Now it's terrible. The economy has gone to shit.
But it was
everybody
always
is
like
overpowered.
That.
There's no. I'm telling you, that wasn't.
What do you mean? Tell me, I experienced it myself, man.
I can't.
Not only
I just said that was my experience.
Okay, well, my experience is I was always getting fucked up. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna be the asshole now.
And not only that, but there always happens when you fucking get on GTA Online and free roam. There's always those fucking 13-year-old kids yelling.
Oh no, there are. My point was, at the beginning of most multiplayer games, you have a grace period of a few weeks where people are more engaged in the content, and the community tends to be a little bit nicer. It definitely has a downturn towards more, I don't want to say toxic, aggressive, a month or so, just after enough time where people had enough time to hit end game and then roll back is when shit starts getting dangerous.
I think, Brett, I would agree with you if this was maybe the mid 2000s, maybe early 2000s.
Am I just old?
Yes, but, you are old.
But in the 2010s,
on my PC. Yeah, like, okay, so we got. Is this really a kids these days kind of thing? Yeah, is that what it is?
Brett, I'm just gonna break it down. The reason I don't like most multiplayer games is because when I jump in there, motherfuckers, regardless of what the mission is, they're always trying to kill you, no matter what. Even if they're on your team, they're trying to kill you every time.
You know? And regardless of what race you are, they call you the N-word.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I've been called. I did not like being called that, by the way. Very hurtful.
And Brett, I've tried to do co-op missions with randos, and it's impossible. Yeah. Like, somebody will just decide, fuck this, and screw you over. Like the bank heist.
this is true. Most of them are fails. And I think maybe Brian hit gold when he said, if you do it enough, because I take that Dark Souls mentality in there. I will fail a mission 5 times to get it right once and enjoy myself, because I really don't mind when it fails. I'm playing a game is playing a game. There are certain points, as weird as this sounds, I would rather play for 30 minutes and then fail a mission, because then I get another 30 minutes to play it and actually succeed. If I'm fun both times, guess who's winning? This guy.
I think I want to end the show on that. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Who's winning? This guy. Anyway, before we go, Brett, Colby's thing. Please tell us again. We got a lot of people in the chat now, so go.
All right. My buddy Colby, his daughter suffered from a pulmonary disease when she was younger and had open heart surgery. Now healthy, young, vibrant, awesome woman. And because of his interest and love for the people who helped, Colby is holding a 24-hour gaming marathon for 2nd.
November 2nd, right?
Yes, November 2nd.
You cut off, so...
I'm sorry. Yes, it'll be on November 2nd. The website, verbally, and we'll put this down in the links.
Yeah, I just linked it right now, guys, so there you go. Go ahead, Brett, you can verbalize it.
It is extra-life.org /participant/Colby, C-O-L-B-Y. He, again, will be doing this on November 2nd. Please tune in, check it out. These things tend to get weird and fun, and he's doing it for donations to, the KU pediatrics department. So it's for a good cause. This is not a life-threatening illness. This is somebody who is in need of a... This is just gaming for a good cause, from somebody who's appreciative to try and help other people and pay it forward. So it's just a good cause, people. Tune in, check it out, donate if you have the cash. We really appreciate it.
There you go. And there you go, guys. The link's right there. If you guys are just watching afterwards, the link popped up there. So, yeah, click on it. Go over there and help out, man. It's for a good cause, man. Gaming.
Yep.
You know? Good stuff.
Gaming for babies.
Gaming for babies. There you go, man. Yeah, we're done here, people. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the Throwdown Discord server. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
God damn it, Brian. Screwed me over this time. Peace.
Brett Murdoch.
It has, in fact, been real, people.
Yes. Adam Vail.
Call of Duty. Pew, pew.
And Brian Mungioma.
This better be witty.
Nope. Next time.
It's the damn farmers.
Fuck the farmers, man.
Oh, shit.
All right, people. Later. We'll see you on Thursday. Halloween, man. It's going to be crazy. Later.
This is Halloween.
Happy birthday, Halloween.